Blog Talk Radio.
What a fellowship. What a joy divine. Leaning on his everlasting arm. We're safe and secure from all alarm. Because we're leaning on Christ Jesus. Safe and secure from all alarm. We're leaning on his everlasting arm. And it's a day, another day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. For it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. For in him we live, we move, and we have the essence of our being. So glorious and excelsior, God, we give you praise the more. From the highest mountain peak, let our voices echo and speak of thy greatness, of thy mercy, of thy kindness, of thy miraculous changing power from every second, every day, and each and every hour. For this time we take out to say, Lord, we praise thee. O Lord, we give thanks for the all of thy greatness, for that which we see and do not see. We thank you for making a way out of no way, for being that very fortress that protects us from all hurt, harm, and danger. We thank you for being the God of our salvation, the rock of our creation, for the designer of our excellence, for our and our imputation of greater and common sense. For these mere blessings, we thank you, O Lord. And we know that the power of the word is our and our sword. We know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. But we know that thou art God, and there is no question and no doubt that whatever we don't stand, we know, Lord, that you have already worked it out. And from this moment we speak words of great exaltation and praise, that thy name, thy gloriousness, thy mercy, thy omnipotence, thy omniscience shall be raised. For the name is a strong tower, the righteous run into it, and they are saved. Thank you, Lord, for just being God, and beside you there is none other. For we rise in this praise, we give praise like none other. Glorious and victorious day it is, just a of exaltation to elevate your mind, that you will go higher in the Lord. On this Monday manna, this miraculous Monday manna segment, heard on the Blog Talk Network, heard on six continents around the world, changing lives, changing the way that people view the spiritual experience and reaching into the eternals, having the essence of God's presence residuate in their lives. Finally understanding that it's far beyond a doctrine, it's of the Lord that these great things are granted. And that's what we're here for, the common purpose of the uncommon good. That's why God is raising up a people in the midst of a people who are not afraid to stand up and stand out and tell the world what it's all about. It's not about a congregation or a denomination. It is about the power of his presence throughout each and every nation. And God has called us. He has called us. He has summoned us unto righteousness and to teach those who are lacking and to strengthen those who are weak and to reach those whom society has truly forgotten. That's right. And that is our call and our purpose today as we're going forth in his word, that we expect miracles and thank God for the smallest miracles. And listen, despise not the day of small beginnings. See, sometimes our minds begin to play tricks on us. This is the reason why the mind is so important. The spirit mind is so essential to you as a believer. And those of you who are desiring to get into the fold of becoming a believer. See, the mind is the epitome of your existence. But the soul is a reflection of that existence. And this is why it's so important to understand that the mind must be transformed. And when the mind is transformed, the heart will follow suit and change. And whatever the heart experiences, the body will fall in line with. And this is where the dysfunctionalism is in this present day and time. The heart is in one place, and the mind resides in another place. And this is why there's so much miscombobulation, some disharmony, dysfunctionalism in the body of believers. There's no change or no negativity in the body of Christ, but within the body of the believers, the embodiment, the extended arm of the church, which are we as believers conjoined together for one unified purpose with different levels of functioning capacity. We're not harmonizing because our affections, and see, wherever your heart is, where your passions, your drives, your inertias, and your affections are. And the heart, if the head is sick, and you see the conjunction that there is here, the connectivity factor, if the head is sick or is not functioning to the level of expectancy, the heart will become weakened, and eventually it will faint. That's right. That is so very true. And understand this is the connectivity factor. You see, if a person experiences, and I've had people that have experienced strokes, some of them didn't survive, and some did, but part of the brain, the cerebral operations were compromised. And at that phase of time, when that stroke occurred, the body start to shut down in the physiological perspective of things. That's right. That means the bowel movement capacity, the excrementation or the feces was compromised or else it lost control. The kidneys began to lose control and to break down. Some people began to retain water. Some people began to release water involuntarily so. Some people began to have heart palpitations. Why? Because the head, it's like the engine of the body. That's right. It's the engine of the body. That's right. And so if the head experiences trauma, the body will relay these messages throughout the neuropathic system. That's right, the neurological system, which will translate into the heart. And the heart will begin to expand. That's right. It will no longer pump the blood throughout the body. It will become uncoagulated. That means it will start to lump up. That's right. And the veins in the aorta will begin to expand. That's right. Like a rubber band stretches and it becomes tight. And oftentimes people experience cardiac arrest and there is a stroke involved. So this is the reason why we've got to get our spiritual cells in top-notch spiritual shape as we do our bodies, because when people experience things of that manner in the physiological level, there's a lot of denigrating factors that occur. That person has a theoretical shutdown of the molecular capacities of their body. That's why many of them have to learn how to speak again behind having a stroke. Many people have to regain the momentum of their motor operations, the ability to grasp and then to hold, to touch and to feel, and to actually take steps to utilize their pedal operatives after a stroke has occurred. And even there's a sense of memory loss oftentimes with individuals who experience stroke, okay? So this is what we're trying to prevent in the realm of the spirit man. We know about the realm of the natural man, but we're talking about the realm of the spiritual man. And if the heart has been damaged, then there's going to be an issue with regulating blood pressure. Either the blood pressure will become dangerously too low or exceedingly and dangerously too high. And that means that there needs to be a balance. There needs to be an equilibrium in the midst. And this is what we're attaining and attempting to do, is to give you the word of God so that you will understand what it is that you need to do so that your mind is transformed and so that your body is renewed and that your heart is fixed on the things that are good and profitable to you in your life, so that the blessings of Abraham can overtake you, overtake your household, overtake your life, goals, your ambitions, that God will fulfill those things. He said, because you have been faithful over a few things, he says, I will make you ruler of many. But we've got to get on the right path. And this is where we're picking up where we left off yesterday. Go back with us to the first book of Corinthians. The first letter, the first epistle, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and back to the third chapter. I want us to begin actually at the 15th verse. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not, this is the 16th verse, I'm sorry. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? What are you saying? When you profess that you love God and you know him, there is a level of accountability and a personal level of responsibility to maintain adequate behavior that is reflective of good consciousness, of a clear, God-fearing consciousness. And that in doing so, you have to deny yourself of certain individuals, being with certain accompaniment that is not good or profitable to the edification factor in your life, anything that's going to tear you down, cause you to get distracted and become despondent, you have to relinquish or eradicate or remove it from your life. Some things you may want to remove voluntarily, or some things involuntarily. That's why we have to allow God to move, because sometimes we get rooted and grounded with dealing with the wrong people who are not like-minded, who refute the knowledge of God and refuse the instruction of what is truth, what will be profitable to us in our lives. We have the good consciousness to know that we have to remove those people. Why? Because they will cause an equilibrium in us that is not going to be profitable to us in our lives. So we have to do those things. Because why? We are the temple. Do you want dirt in your temple? No. Do you want dust in your temple? No. Do you want unpleasant vermin running in your temple, polluting it? You know, literally causing it to become unclean? In your right faith of thinking, you don't want to live in a dirty house. That's right. So we don't want the Spirit of God to abide within us, and we're not clean. That's right. We have to do some cleaning, some spring cleaning of our own volition. That's right. We have to delegate and say, I want the very best that God has to offer in my life. I want to enjoy a long, happy, healthy, prosperous, productive life. All that I touch, I want God to prosper. When I speak the words of knowledge, I want God to honor what I say. When people are trying to plot against me and plan against me, I want to see God's hand of deliverance smite my enemies. I want him to exalt me so that I may exalt his word, his power, his diligence, his deliverance, so that others will be delivered. So God will do what he said he will do, but it's up to us to keep our part of the bargain, to walk in a spirit of obedience, and to be willing not to let ourselves go to the standards of this world, the way that they dress, revealing clothes, mannerisms, this lewd, lurid. These things are unclean, unclean. We should be sickened when we see people dressing in a way that's totally exposed. We should be disturbed by it. That's right. When we see lewdness of behavior, we should become despondent by it. We should be repulsed. Why? Because what fellowship have in darkness with light, Christ with Belial, righteousness with unrighteousness? They're two distinctive factors, but there's no connectivity. One represents light, greatness, goodness, empowerment, and one represents darkness, debilitation, humiliation, and deprivation. So there is no connectivity factor. And how can two walk except agreed? Okay, so these are the things that we have to keep within ourselves, that we know that we are different from other people. I love recognizing the differences in me, because, you know, the difference in me shows up the indifference in others. That's right. You are a part of a royal priesthood. You are a peculiar person. Why? Because your drives are the right drives in the right direction. You're going to climb that ladder the right way, not trying to scale and cheat and go on the other side without taking the necessary steps of measure and which God has ordained you to do, because the scripture tells us that God orders the steps of a righteous man, and though he falleth, he shall not be utterly cast down. So this tells us that we have to follow the path in which he has designated for us. Not to say that we're not going to experience some degree of distractions, because we're human. We're made up of the nature of the first Adam. So we're going to experience some degree of imbalance and disharmony. But when we detect it, we take that spiritual, that's right, that spiritual stethoscope, and we put it on our hearts and say, you know what? My heart is not receiving that which is beneficial. That's right. There's some things in my heart that I desire to do that are not of goodness, that are not wholesome, that are not pure and of good report. I cannot let these things take root. Why? Because I will suffer a spiritual cardiac arrest. Everything in my life put on hold, and I'll start slowly but surely denigrating in my own volition. That's right. So we have to detect those things and make sure that we cleanse those things. When we find ourselves holding anger, when people have wronged us, when the Lord told us, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. We've got to say, Lord, help me to release this emotion from my heart. Because if I hold grudges and I hold the very vindictiveness of wanting to get back at someone, Lord, you can't work the way you want to work with those who have wronged me. So what do? The heart says, release them. The mind says, God has already done what he said he's going to do. Oh, hallelujah. Bless his name. So we have to let those things go. That's right, because we are the temple. We are a highly esteemed place where the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, dwells. And we have to keep our temple in immaculate condition, because God gets the glory out of the immaculate temple. He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Uh-oh. That which temple ye are. Don't think that you can just go about going around, do what you want to do with your body. That's why even in the worldly system, people are exchanging body fluids. And we're talking to an adult audience here, doing some unethical things with themselves, because they want to seek a pleasure that they cannot find independently within themselves. So they go out and they seek it through other people. That's right. And as a result, they end up degraded, humiliated, and deprivated in a worse state of catastrophe than they were previously. So this is not the way that you want to go. That's right. This is not going to profit you, because God will allow your body to crumble. He will allow things to come into your physical body that are not profitable to a good long life and an excellent quality of life. Why? Because of disobedience. Your body is the temple. When people try to tempt you outside the circle and say, do this and do that, overindulge in this, overindulge in that, say, no, my body is the temple. I've got to keep this temple in tip-top shape. And just as you would take your physical body, I know that I do, and watch what I eat. If I overextend certain things, I do a double amount of exercise. I do a purification to make sure these things don't take manifold. We've got to do the same thing with the spirit man. We focus on the physical man, but we don't focus enough on the spirit man. And as a result, many of us are spiritually malnourished. We're not living up to the quality of life and the expectation that God wants us to live an abundance with. We're cheating ourselves out of depleting the presence of God in our lives, because we are the temple in which the Spirit of God dwells. That's right. Let no man deceive himself. If any man amongst you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. What is he saying? People think that they know so much, that they have worldly acclimates, which are very deceptive. The knowledge of this world is sensual, is devilish, and it profiteth nothing. Despite how much education we have in the secular setting, there are demonic attacks or things that are out of balance with universal harmony coming at us. Our education cannot massively so manipulate the circumstance or situation. No, it can't. Because there's only one name that we can call on that will be subjugated to that circumstance in which evil presences tremble and flee, and which individuals who are not right attempt to get right or else flee the scene. And it's at the name of Jesus, Yeshua, that every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That's right. So it is through his authority that God has granted us the empowerment, the very powers of heaven at our disposal, as he told Peter. Blessed art thou, O Peter, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. This is our Messiah speaking. In the 19th chapter, the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, he said, Father which is in heaven. He said, I give unto thee. This is how we get the masterful manipulation of utilizing the keys, acknowledging who Christ is. And that the power is embedded in his name. That when Father God sees us, he sees us through the eyes of his only begotten Son. He says, whatsoever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye loose upon the earth shall be loosed in heaven. So this is how we gain the momentum to overthrow the plot and the plan of the enemy. This is how we reclaim society. This is how we heal the land. This is how we utilize the powers of heaven to produce miracles. God wants to produce so many miracles in our lives. He wants to heal the land, but we're hindering the process because we're becoming too worldly. The world is becoming too churchy, and the church is becoming too worldly. Anything that goes on in the world is now going on in the congregations, and God is not pleased. There is a divining rod. There is a separation factor between the two factions. That's why God is commending us. He is urging us to get our priorities intact so that he can move in a way that mankind in the modern age society has never experienced. God wants to shut down the poverty line and put people in the prosperity line. God wants to close the doors of the middle institutions and put people in the venue of having their right mind. God wants to overturn some things, but we've got to let go and let him by walking in the light of the truth. No, we're not perfect. We're not perfect, but we love and believe in a God that is perfect, that understands so well what mankind will never come to understand. But we've got to get out of self and get into him and get into his magnificent truth. For his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light in our pathway. Let us say amen. That's right, so be it. Now let's go to the next verse. For the wisdom, the 19th verse, that is, we're in the third chapter, the first book of the letter of Corinthian church, the book of Corinthians. Apostle Paul wrote this book, straightening them out. The 19th verse says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. That means that God does not favor the standards of this modern-day society. Dog eat dog, as they say. You know, whatever you do to me, I'm going to go do back to you. You know, backstabbing, undermining, deceitful, doing things to cause confusion, masterminding, manipulating, brainwashing, teasing, trying to please man. God is not pleased at all. He says, you know what, the wisdom of the world says, do what you got to do to get what you got to get done. No, the Lord told us, if you be faithful over a few things, he said, behold, I make you the ruler of many. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Why? Because you're not walking in the stupidity of this world, the stupidity of mindless individuals who whore after the beast, who whore after the almighty dollar, that would sell their own children, that would give up their birthright just to have a few dollars more. That's right. You're not walking after the whoredom of this world, because the beast, the lion, is in power of the monetary exchange. Don't you know that people are selling their souls to become rich? People are selling their souls to become phenomenal recording artists. People are selling their souls to become successful performers. Why? Because they're desperate. There's a hunger within them, and they don't know how to quench the hunger, to gratify the hunger. They don't know how to quench the thirst, so they seek after the beast. And then when they exchange their soul for monetary wealth and they sign their name on the dotted line, they become Satan's. That's right. They become his possession. That's right. And whatever is required of them, they must do. And if they get outside of the line, the organization that's implementing this type of mindset will chasten them, will do things to overturn their success in order to show them who has the strong arm. What if those same people who sold themselves over would have given themselves to God? God would have allowed them to become millionaires and billionaires and to overstep and overswipe the very wickedness of this world, where they could put back their fiduciaries into the kingdom of heaven to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to provide clean drinking water for those underdeveloping countries and those areas who are lacking this provision. That's right, where they can provide good, strong, and supportive educational systems. But people want a cheap sheet, and they want a quick way to get it. And the scripture tells us, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that way there but the ways of death. I mean, you're going to come to a halt, a dead end. Nothing will produce. And when you can't produce under their regimen, they will eradicate you or else remove you or diminish you to such a degree you lose your honor, you lose your character. It's clean-up time, people. It's clean-up. It's clean-up. If I say to my students in the classroom after breakfast and I want them to get the momentum going for the cleaning up and to get their mind focused to learning, I say it's clean up, it's clean up, it's clean up time. And they just really chime in and they start singing, it's clean up, it's clean up, it's clean up time. And they love it. And you know what happens? They begin to get happy. The momentum begins to shift. And I can feel the positive energy. And this is what the Lord is telling us today. It's clean up. It's clean up time. It's time to get your act together. Stage and performances, trying to gain acclaim from mankind. Because if you claim to get your recognition through mankind, you have your reward with mankind. It's going to be limited. You'll be hot for a season. There's no good for any an unknown definite reason. So it's cleanup time. Okay, let's go to the very 20th verse. He says, and again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. That's what he's saying. The Lord understands that these people who are considered upper echelon, highly educated, you know, motivated and getting the acclaim of society, he understands that these people are able to get things done that other commonite people can't do. He understands that, but at the same time, he winks at their so-called superior intelligence and calls them foolish because they don't understand that they are a half a step away from eternity. And when they step into eternity, all of their accomplishments, all their monetary wealth will leave them behind. That it will be left behind and somebody else will benefit from it. So this is why he's telling us to set our affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Why? Because the world, it passes away. Therefore, the 21st verse, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. What is Apostle Paul saying? He says, therefore, don't set your ambitions upon pleasing other people, wanting to get recognition from other people, gaining the flow to get up and go from other people, because that will fail. People change every day. A man can be so in love with his wife on a Monday, and somehow between Monday and Friday, the momentum changes, the shift unlevels. The gratuity that was once felt becomes an inactivity, and he can walk off and never come back home again. So people don't recognize. It's wonderful to have blessed love relationships. Every one of us should strive to do that. We should want wonderful workplaces where the power of God supersedes everything, that everybody is focused and aimed on doing the best that they can do. Honest days work for honest days pay. We all should have that ambition. We all should want our families to be productive and progressive. But we don't put our confidence in the things that we see, because why? The things that we see are temporal. They're there for a moment, and then they're gone the next moment. But we put and set our affections upon the Lord in that good marriage will become a great marriage. That's right. If we set our affections on the Lord, my monetary wealth will translate into immense riches. That's right. If I keep my affections set on the Lord, my great perfect health will become even more perfect. See, everything needs to be centered back to the presence of God, God's presence, God's mercy, God's goodness. All of these things need to be preceded and reflected and polarized back into the almighty omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence of an awe-inspiring, eternal God who sits high and looks low. We all need to go back to that landmark and to get our house in order, because why? It's cleanup time. God wants to do some great things in the midst of us, amongst mankind, but we've got to go back to the Genesis factor. It's time for the Shekinah glory. Ooh, I love that Shekinah. See, Shekinah glory is a phase of time when God glorifies those who have struggled, who have went through the bender and the blender, who have cried and wept tears that were silent in the night, for those of us who echoed out about our moanings and groanings of things that were going on in our lives and around us and with people in our midst. God heard us, God saw us, God felt us, and God knows us. And this is the season of great reward that God is just going to replenish and glory us with that Shekinah glory. And let me tell you something about Shekinah glory, glory to his name. That Shekinah glory sets you up. You know, I'm already a queen. I look even more queenly like. I'm already a royal place in him. I become even more regal. That's why I'm already blessed and flourishing in every aspect of my life. I flourish the more. Not so I can sit back and say, oh, look all I've got and what you don't have. No, so that I can multiply and give you my testimony, so that I can bless you with the wealth that God has imputed within me, with the riches that he has invested within me to give it to others, so that his kingdom come and that his will be done upon the earth. So God wants to do some great and magnificent things. He wants to turn back the hands of time. That's why he wants to show everyone that he's a right-on-time God that does not admit to any degree of being slack concerning his word nor his promises. Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord today blessing us and just showering down. It's going to be some immense miracles that's going to happen at this moment. I just feel it. It starts with me and it spreads to thee. That's right. Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Therefore, 21st verse, let no man glory in men, for all these things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. He's saying you are as valuable as anything else. Stop running to these so-called mega minister personalities, asking them to bless you, asking them to prophesy to you, asking them to tell you something. All you got to do is open up your heart, open up your mind. God is showing you that mankind is not perfect. You see all the dark behaviors that are behind these personalities. He says, stop fueling your interest based upon the deeds of some mega personality. Put your trust in him and let him bring it to pass so that you will never, ever, at any given time, be let down. Okay? He's saying, all things are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. What are you saying? He said, because you belong to God. You're just as valuable. Don't think that that person has any more faith than what you have. Don't think that that person who you see with this mega church is what they proclamate in the worldly sense has any more favor with God than you do, because they don't. They don't have anything more than what you have. It's just the momentum in which they travel is more expeditious than you. Why? Because you don't want to get out of self. You want to get into self and follow others. Be a lesson to us as even being leaders. He said, follow me only as I follow Christ. And he is our only hope of glory. So it's time for spring cleaning. God wants to do some great and magnificent things in the body of Christ and within us. That's right. It's independent and yet still codependent upon the body of Christ. So it's time. On this Monday manna time, make up your mind. Say, Father God, I know that I have walked in a way that has not always been obedient. I walked according to my own consciousness, my own desires. But, Father God, I repent because I did so out of my own ignorance. But I received the greatness of thy word, the greatness of thy presence, so that miracles, great divine supernatural occurrences take place in my life, so that thou be glorified, that thy name be exalted, and thy kingdom be expounded. For to God be the glory for his unspeakable gift, his gift of love, his gift of mercy, his gift of grace, his gift of redemption, his gift of healing, his gift of prosperity, his gift of renewal, of picking us up from where we were and setting us in heavenly places upon this earth so that he be glorified. With long life shall he satisfy us in the abundance of health, that we prosper in all things and be in health, even as our souls do prosper. So we thank God for you. We thank God for Jesus, who is our mediator, our predecessor, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon his shoulder, by whose stripes we were healed. We thank you for being God. And we receive that greatness, that power, that overcoming power, that we walk more than conquerors through him that loved us. And we bless you. We bless you. We bless you, one and all. And have a glorious and victorious week. And keep those praise reports and those testimonies coming in. You can email me on the Blog Talk Network. That's right. You can do that. And you also have my contact address. That's right. You can even look me up on Facebook and inbox me your prayer requests or your most deepest desires of wanting to be. Yes, I do independent Bible teachings. I do counseling, and I do what is needful and necessary to edify those who are seeking the knowledge of the truth. So you have my contact information, and be in connection with me and call someone else and inspire them with these words of wisdom and these words of greatness. And know that it may not have been good before, but the best is yet to come, and the very best that God has to offer will come shining through. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the Esquire, Abby A. Felton, your most city, Maharani Singh. We'll see you again real soon. And in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Be blessed and have a glorious and victorious week, and give God the praise. We'll see you real soon. Oh, yeah.